With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial, and with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown, and through adaptable problem-solving, we do just that. Learn more at Marines.com.
Welcome to this week, Beanie and the Boom podcast, where I'm missing my partner in crime today, Beanie and Wells, but I got my boy here today with me, Christian Bryant.
Hey,
CB, what's going on, man?
Hey, what's going on, Boom? You know, excited to be on the show today, man.
Second time.
Second time. Look, thank you, Beanie, for missing the day. Look, I will for surely fulfill your seat the proper way, my man.
Yeah, man. What's going on, though, man? How you feeling, man? What's new? I mean, obviously, you've been on here before, so you kind of know what's going on. But, you know, give us a little update with what you got going on.
Yeah, you know, right now, man, I got my beautiful daughter in the building, man, the newest addition to the Bryant family,
okay,
the legacy.
Okay.
You know,
congratulations. Yuri Bryant.
Thank you. You know, just playing the dad role today, you know.
Oh, yeah.
Trying to win dad of the year, man. So
this not know. The first time we had daddy daycare here today,
oh,
man.
Yeah,
you know,
well,
you know, Beanie has had his boys in here, and some of our other guests have had their kids with him. So we happy to have you and your daughter today, man.
Yeah.
Kind of just you know what? Let me ask you this, man. So are you a guy that likes to win money, right?
Yeah, of course. I like to win money.
So you like to gamble a little bit, right? Here and there.
I gamble with my friends, closest friends, you know. I can say that much, I guess.
So, look, man, I'm going to need you to start going on betdsi.com, where you can go in there and bet on all the games you want to bet. All you got to do is use the promo code Beanie100, and you can make it happen. And they pay fast, bro. I'm talking about super fast.
Okay, betdsi. Okay, I'll put that on my radar.
Betdsi. Beanie100 is the promo code. If you're out there and you want to bet on any games, college, pro, that is the place to go. BetDSI. Use the promo code Beanie100, and trust me, people, you get your money fast. I've been winning. I've been playing. He going to start betting, and he going to win some money, so we good.
Look, if Boom is going to win $10,000 plus, you guys know that this is definitely the gambling side that you guys need to be a part of if he talking big money like
right,
this.
So right.
Go ahead, check it out.
Yeah, for sure. So, man, you know, obviously you play here at Ohio State, man, and they made, you know, some big-time changes, and we rolling right now.
Yes,
sir. Coach Day got the boys playing great. We got a big game on the road tomorrow night against Northwestern. Just kind of give me some of your thoughts of how the team's playing, you know, so far this year, and what you think of Coach Day in his first year. And, you know, we got a new defensive coordinator. New defensive staff.
Yeah.
Give me your thoughts on the team and the coaching staff.
You know, the funny thing about Coach Day is – everyone prior to the season had questions on his toughness as a coach. But me personally, I feel like toughness as a coach is showing that you can fulfill big shoes coming after Urban Meyer and still getting the job done. You know, Coach Day has obviously been prepped the correct way, you know, as a coach with his past coaching buddies and things like that. So Coach Day, to me, has done a wonderful job, especially with the foundation laid is still there with, you know, Coach Mick, Stamp, Volt, you know, Mark Pantone. So it's still kind of the building block still there, and Coach Day has done a wonderful job fulfilling those shoes. He has a team rolling right now. The offense is looking more dynamic than ever to me right now, but it's not really anything new. You know, they continue to recycle players each and every year, and right now the talent on Ohio State is going crazy, you know, from top to bottom, from the O-line to the receivers, and, you know, of course, JK and you know, the new QB is doing a wonderful job, you know, stepping into that role as the quarterback one, and you know, just doing promising things. He has a big future ahead of him, and I'm glad he came to Ohio State. But on the other side of the ball, man, this is probably one of the best defensive, you know, execution as far as scheme wise that I've seen Ohio State fulfill right now. I think that they become a little bit more simpler in their schemes. Mm-hmm. You know, they don't have the players thinking as much out there. It's more instinctual play to me and my, you know, my assumptions as just watching the games and whatnot. But, you know, I think guys are making plays on the ball. They're turning the ball over, which is, you know, substantial in a football game. You know, mm-hmm. if you win a turnover battle, I think your odds on winning that game is like close to 85% of the time. So, and those are numbers that, you know, coaches tell us about before the games. You know, if you win a turnover battle, our chances of winning this football game are much higher. So, you know, going into tomorrow night, I don't think it's much for us to worry about. You know, Northwestern, obviously, you know, they play hard, they try hard, but again, that's nothing really that can, you know, stop us.
Yeah, I mean,
for us to be reckoned with.
You brought up the Northwestern game, who we play tomorrow night. I feel the same way. I mean, obviously, in the back of my head, it's always, you know, these type of games that I'm in the back of my head, I'm a little nervous about, because it's always like, you know, can this be like one of those games where we, you know, Purdue, you know, last year or,
yeah,
you know, or shoot, when I was in school, I think we lost to Purdue two times. Or even like a who else did we lose to? Like one of, but I mean, you know what I'm saying when it comes to like one of these games. I mean, this could be one of those Friday nights, away game, playing on somebody else's turf where it's like, okay, we rolling high right now. Yeah. And this team, obviously, you know, we're Ohio State, so everybody has a circle on their schedule. And they think that's like their, you know, national championship.
Right,
you know,
exactly.
So it's like, it makes me a little nervous, but I'm pretty confident that we're going to be good tomorrow night. And we should win the game.
Yeah, you know, and Northwestern fans and Northwestern guys, whoever listen to this, you know, they be watering their field down when speed, you know, when speed comes up north, man. So we gotta.
You had that happen?
Yeah, man. Of course, when we, you know, teams try to let their grass grow substantially high when they know a lot of 4-4, 4-3 guys is coming to the stadium, man, so they could kind of slow them down, get their feet, you know, not planting their cleats into the ground and things like that, man. So I feel like as a player tomorrow, O-State, we better bring them 3-4-inch cleats out tomorrow, man. It's going to be a muddy one.
So you think they need the actual long cleat?
Yeah, we need the actual long cleat so we can stick our feet in the ground and go. That's what we need.
Yeah, that's what's up.
Shout out, we got to call Kev, EQ.
Oh, yeah.
EQ Ohio State head guy, Kev. Shout out to you, baby. Let's get it to him.
I know you were speaking on the defense. I mean, obviously, you played on the defense side of the ball. I mean, what do you think it is that Greg Madison has done that's made the big difference from last year's team, last year's defense to this year's defense? Because, I mean, obviously, I mean, we playing lights out. And as you know, the secondary and the linebacker core was we struggled a lot last year.
Yeah.
And I mean, in my opinion, I think is they're just kind of letting the guys play fast now. They're not throwing a whole bunch of different schemes around. Mm-hmm. They're not throwing a whole bunch of different stuff where guys are thinking. But now it seems like they're just out there playing fast, and it's simple. It's simple football.
Yeah, well, to me, I mean, also credit goes out to the guys that's actually playing the game. You know, these guys are a year older now. You mm-hmm. know, they're more embedded in what they believe in. The coaches are giving them a plan, and they're obviously seeing results, positive results from what they're being coached. So I always say no matter how you know, take a coach's actual teaching style, it may be, you may look at it and say, man, I don't want to do it this way. But, you know, as a player, me speaking on, you know, obviously experience, when you see positive results from a coaching style or whatnot, if you see positive results as an individual, as a player, and you see yourself progressing and not going back, taking steps backwards, you're always going to, you know, follow suit in that direction. And, you know, the guys on the defense right now, I feel like everybody is coming into their own. Everybody is coming into as a group, family oriented type group, and everyone out there seems to believe in one another also, because, you know, as a defense, communication is everything. So, right. You know, if I got a guy standing next to me, and I know for a fact that he doesn't know what he's doing on this play. Of course, I'm not going to want him out there with me. And the vibe that I'm getting from the defense right now is everyone believes that the guy standing next to him is capable of making a big play. Mm-hmm. And that's what we're seeing.
Yeah, yeah, for sure. Now, you had Paul Haynes as your defensive back coach.
Yeah, I had coach. Well, actually, you know, so my story in the coming into Ohio State, I was recruited as a cornerback.
Right.
So, you know, Coach Tave Johnson, he recruited me here.
And Tavre also, Johnson.
Yeah, Coach Tave, you know, shout out to my guy with the Oakland Raiders now. But, you know, he kind of brought me in as a corner. So, you know, my whole mindset at that point in time when I first came in was to play corner. And then as we got later on in the camp, I don't know what the kind of talks that me and him had were you're playing really physical at the cornerback position right now, and we need you to move to the safety room. And, you know, Coach Haynes didn't recruit me. Obviously, we had a good relationship because he was the safeties coach, which is, you know, right next door to the corner's room. But, you know, I didn't know what to expect because I never got coached by him, or I didn't know him, like, super personal like that. So I didn't know what to expect. I just knew that I had Jamel Hines, a former Glenville alumni, in that room too. So I had guidance in that room. But I was kind of upset about having to switch positions and play nickel and safety my freshman year. But Coach Haynes, he took me in with open arms, man. He got me prepared to play like 2 weeks after I moved to that room against Illinois. And that was my first time playing in a big game at Ohio State. And his coaching methods were a little bit different than Coach Tave's. Coach Tave was the type of guy who, you know, he was hands-on with you. He wanted to know what type of person you were, and then he would kind of go off of your ability from there, what you're capable of doing on the football field. And then Coach Haynes, he was more of a thinking type of coach to me. You know, he was more X's and O's, strategically thinking. But also he instilled that football knowledge and education in me as a safety. You know, when I switched positions, he kind of showed me to read the defense and what was going on with the defensive line up front, with the stunts and the linebacker movement and safety fits and things like that. So it kind of advanced me to that next stage of football in my career, that, okay, now I'm getting that confidence is becoming to become easier, more simple for me each and every day with this guy, Coach Haynes, coaching me, because he was more of a, you know, like I said, strategic and X's and O's type of coach, where he actually sat you down and taught you the game of football and keeping leverage on the defense and things like that. Just, you know, a lot of kudos to Coach Haynes, man. He did a lot for me at Ohio State early on in my career, for sure.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, you also had to – you had the opportunity to play for Tress and Coach Urban Meyer, man. I mean, though, in my eyes, you know, I never had the opportunity to play for Urban, but they just seemed like they're two totally different guys, you know.
Yeah.
Kind of talk about your time with Tress and then your time with Urban. What was, like, the big difference, and, you know, who would you rather play? I mean – Who did you enjoy playing for more?
You know, I actually literally just heard, you know, Coach Zach Smith speaking on this on his podcast recently. He spoke on the Coach Tress to Coach Meyer transition, and it was, you know, when Coach Meyer came in, it was, you know, the year before that we went what was it like? 6-7
Talking about my last year?
Yeah.
Why you gotta bring up all this
That's
stuff?
What I said. Look, we had a horrible year. I mean, you know, obviously everyone knows it was because of, you know, the NCAA doing malicious things and taking away football from guys like yourself, Devere Posey, Solomon Thomas, Terrell Pryor, things like that. You know, they wanted to, I feel like,
make in our careers.
Yeah, exactly. Look, make their presence be felt for sure. But, you know, we had a rough year that year just because of that. Just, you know, it wasn't really a internal type of deal to me. But when Coach Meyer and the gang came over, it was kind of hard to switch our perspective and our, you know, our way of thinking as to, you know, just buy into Coach Meyer and what he has to say, because like Coach Smith said, and this is my point of view also, you know, it's hard to kind of transition guys in your program coming from a winning program, and Coach Meyer is also coming with a winning background to this winning program. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? So it's kind of hard for guys to look and follow suit to a guy who has a winning background, obviously, but in prior years, Ohio State, we had great years prior to, you know, Coach Tress's demise at Ohio State. But, you know, Coach Tress was just a guy who had those personal relationships with guys right off the bat. He's one of those guys who, you know, he'll remember anything that you tell him. Mm-hmm. He remember anybody in your family who he meets. He's a genuine, loving grandparent away from home. You know, like, right. Seriously, he loves you to death, and he'll tell you when you're wrong. He'll tell you, you know, he knows when to praise you and things like that. But I feel like Tress got a bad stigma because he was more of that player type of relationship, type of coach, because people couldn't understand, how can a head coach have this loving relationship with his players? How he, you know, how he kind of fell on the sword with the, you know, with the ordeal that happened prior to him leaving Ohio State. He went to bat for, you know, some guys, quote unquote, you know, but like that is just something that a lot of head coaches in the country just don't do. You can talk to a multitude of players from different colleges and ask them, how was your experience with your head coach? Like, man, I hated that dude. Yeah. Like, bro, he didn't do anything for us. Like, boom, boom. Like, right. It's a complete negative experience for those guys. That's why.
And you got mad love for both coaches.
Mad love for both of them, man. You know, Coach Meyer, he held it down on my end. You know, and again, I was an older guy when Coach Meyer came in, so it was kind of a different perspective that I was looking at him with. And like I said before, he came in with a plan, and it took guys a little bit of time to fall into or to really understand and to really take heed to his plan. But like I said before, we seen results from what he came in and did. And, you know, if you see results as a player, hey, that's what you want to do.
Right. How would you see yourself fitting in with Ryan? Like, say if you had to be on Ryan Day's team right now, how would you see yourself fitting in?
Depends on what year we talking.
This year? What you mean?
No, I'm saying depends on what year I am in school, if I'm a freshman or if I'm a senior. You know, bro, those transitions, like, or those particular years are completely different, like freshman to a senior, because senior year, you already really have a foundation laid, you know what I'm saying? And as a freshman, you trying to understand all this chaos that's going on around you, from class, from tutors, to practice, to extra meetings.
People don't understand the schedule of a
student or a student football, athlete. Really a football athlete. Player, because we can't really speak on any other sports. Athletes, because we don't know what they have going on, but we just know what we endured, you know, from being in that environment. But I mean, you know, it's all love from my perspective for both guys, Coach Tress and Coach Meyer, man. Love both guys dearly for sure. They did a lot for me.
Oh yeah, for sure. So looking on the rest of this year, man, I mean, me and Beanie kind of he thought I was crazy when I was saying this, but from the jump I said, you know, I think Ohio State was going undefeated. I felt like we were running the table in the Big Ten. I felt like, you know, we should get to the playoffs this year. I think we could do our job in the playoffs and we can get to the national championship. That was my opinion. Everybody was looking at me crazy.
What were they saying? What was so bad about that?
We got a brand. You know what it was? We got a new quarterback. We got a new head coach. Everything's kind of new, so they didn't have the feel. But I just felt like, you know, I seen what Coach Day did, you know, his first three games. Last year, and I seen how the team was playing. So I'm like, man, if he do what he was doing the first three games last year, and he has all this talent and he puts it all together, I think we should run the table.
Yeah.
And that, I feel like that's, and I still feel the same way. I feel like, you know, the team is getting better every week. I feel like the defense has grown into something great. You know, they playing fast, playing good, making plays. They, you know, they're one of the top ranked defense, you know, in college football. I think it's all good. I mean, in your opinion, do you see us still going, you know, undefeated? And who is a team that you're kind of worried about, you know, us playing this year?
You know, well, first of all, I kind of had the same perspective that you had even before the season, just looking at our schedule prior to the season even started. I mean, to me, it's a cakewalk.
Yeah.
You know, especially with the talent that we have.
I ain't going to call it a cakewalk, but, you know, we still got to play.
Call me cocky.
Hey, we still got to play Penn State, who's rolling good. Yeah, we still got to play Wisconsin.
But we play both of those teams at home, right?
Still.
Or do we play Penn State at home?
We lost to Penn State at home before.
Yeah, true enough. And Penn State is one of those teams that, you know, you never know what Penn State you're going to get, especially. But like you said earlier on in the show, everybody going to bring their A game.
Hey.
Ohio State. But the thing that we have actually right now, to me, is it just seems like the players have bought in to Coach Day. Mm-hmm. You know, it seemed to me having conversations with guys on the team right now, actually, they love him. Mm-hmm. Like, they love Coach Day for what type of person he is, and what type of coach he is. He seems like a guy who's non-confrontational, you know, and as a young player, those are the type of coaches sometimes that people gravitate towards, because they don't like that friction. They don't like that, you know, guys getting on them like that, especially this day and age. It's a new generation. Mm-hmm. So, again, you have to, as a coach, you have to see what type of players and what type of personalities that you have residing on the team, and kind of go from there, especially, like, you know, this day and age, this guy's 18, 19 years old on that team right now. They're a lot different from me and you when we were, you know, coming up, you know, just with, you know, social media, just what everyone knows of today's day and age and young people.
Yes, I mean, social media could either hurt you or end exactly, your career.
For sure.
You know?
Look, you just said a double negative.
I sure did. Man, you know what I meant.
Yeah, for sure. But,
you know what I meant. But it can help your career or yeah, in sure, your career.
Exactly. But, you know, guys just tend, they just seem to me like they've bought into what Coach Day is telling them in the locker room, in team meetings, and just his approach to how he wants to orchestrate the team. And, you know, from a guy who has such a dynamic offensive mind that, you know, just putting guys in positions, especially as coaches also, because we have different coaches on the coaching staff who also can expand on that and, you know, kind of help Coach Day embrace the position that he's in, and help him flourish with the team. And I feel like right now, I don't see us losing a game, you know, and shoot, I'll say that for the rest of the season. Like I've been saying,
I feel you. I mean, I'm the same way. I'm the same way. I feel like we should run the table the rest of the year. You know, I think. I mean, Wisconsin is playing great.
Wisconsin, but that's the thing about Wisconsin. Wisconsin is, you know, they're one trick pony always.
Everybody know they can run the ball.
Run the ball.
Yeah.
You
know, I feel like we got what it takes to stop
to
that.
Stop, bro. We got so many athletes.
I don't know if you've seen. I think they had like four shutouts this year.
No, their defense is definitely like top 10 in the country.
I don't know who they've really played, but you know that's impressive to have, you know, four shutouts, you know, in the season.
Yeah, but
you know,
what are we averaging on offense? Like 30 something points, something like that. 30 something points a game, I think. Something crazy.
Man, look, man, it doesn't matter. We doing it. We getting the job done.
Facts.
You know, with Justin Fields and J.K. Dobbins doing their job.
I'm not gonna lie, man. The offense, bro, as a team overall, we playing lights out.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, of course, you got little small tweaks here and there each week that you have to improve on, of course. But as an overall team and, you know, our play so far throughout the season, we haven't took a drop.
Yeah.
To me, we've actually risen to the occasion.
You know, everybody talks about the offense and the defense. I remember Tress. I know you remember where Tress used to say the most important playing football is what?
Special team.
But what was it, though?
What, punt?
Yes. But it's just crazy to me because, you know, our offense is playing good, our defense is playing good, but you got to look at our special teams, too. I think we got, like, two or three block punts, a couple block field goals. I mean, I think it takes all three stages of football for us to be playing how we're playing.
Definitely.
And for us to go undefeated and for us to go into the playoffs and get the respect and then have the chance to play for the national championship. I think that's what that team is doing right now.
Yeah, you know, we always kind of mix it up with little exotic block punts and things like that. You know, we like to bring some pressure in that regards because we got so much speed out there. We got to use it somehow.
Yeah, give me your favorite player on both sides of the ball right now.
I can't really say.
Who's a guy that's standing out, and who's that guy that, you know, I think people were sleeping on and that's actually kind of balling now?
Man, you got a couple guys, honestly, who kind of, like.
I mean, obviously, we know on defense, you know, you got Chase Young, who's playing lights out this year.
Oh, yeah, I mean, that's no question.
Yeah.
Like, he was.
Dude, the animal.
Like, everyone knew that, so that wasn't a surprise. But to me, I feel like Wentz is playing a lot better.
Wentz?
Yeah, 20.
Yeah.
He's definitely playing
a lot better.
It's just like he's got more confidence this year, you know, and he's flying around more because he's not thinking as much, and he seems like he has a grasp on, you know, different checks and things like that, especially playing linebacker. You have to be able to communicate, you know, to the defensive backs and to the defensive line. But I don't know, man. To me, the secondary is, I mean, I could be biased, but they've been playing good.
Oh, I thought you were about to say that we got the best secondary in college football right now.
You can quote me. What you mean? Indeed, we definitely have the best defensive back group in the country. BIA, best in America. You know, DBU.
DBU.
For sure. This is the real DBU. You know what I'm saying? We got the resume. We still got the guys in the NFL. You know, we got the most first rounders, secondary, you know, in the position. And we also have future first rounders on the field this year.
Yeah.
So, you know, but on offense, I feel like the receiving core is playing a lot better as a group. Mm-hmm. You know, last year it was, you know, this guy this week. It wasn't as a collective unit each week in and each week out. You know what I'm saying? So that group right there, Brian Hartline, he's done a, you know, terrific job stepping in and filling those shoes of zone six. And, you know, those guys obviously is buying into what he's saying in the meeting rooms too. And he has a great resume behind him, you know, former Ohio State athlete or football player, former NFL player.
Yeah.
You know,
I mean, that's easy for a college athlete or football player to want to relate to a guy who's walk those shoes.
Man, it's a lot easier.
Done it, who's had the opportunity. So I think it's a plus for us to have him on our coaching staff and also have him as one of our top recruits. Because I think he's a top five recruiter in college football right now. I think he might be top two or something like that.
Yeah, they love him.
Top two,
but I'm not two.
You crazy. That's crazy. I mean, speaking of, you know, college football, period, man, we got a guy – that used to be here, Joe Burrow, who's leading LSU to a great thing right now. I mean, he got those guys playing great. And, you know, he's a guy who transferred from here. But I guess I would just ask you a question. You know, if he was still here, you know, you have him and Justin Fields both still here. Who are you starting at quarterback?
You got to go Burrows. You have to. To me, in my perspective. Just for the simple fact, you know, obviously they seem, well, I don't know actually thinking back, man. But, I mean, it's a toss-up either way. But to me, you go Burrows just through experience, I guess, you know.
What you mean?
Experience as far as experience in that offensive system. You
man,
know,
listen
this
here.
Would what this would be what his fourth year?
No,
this would be his fourth year.
No, it wouldn't.
Well, third or fourth
year. Last year was his first year starting at
No.
LSU.
I mean, like he got to be like a junior or senior, right?
Yeah.
So like, if he was still at Ohio State, it'd be like his third or fourth year in that Ohio State system with the same coaches, with the same players.
So you saying if we got both of these dudes, Joe Burrow and Justin Fields, both on the team right now, which is we know Justin Fields is our starting quarterback. If we got both of them, you're going to start Burrows over Fields.
Bro, we got to start Burrows. You have to think, like, Justin Fields.
I don't know, man.
I'm saying, like, looking at it as a whole, you got to look at it as a whole. You got to think, we got a brand new transfer coming in. I'm saying off the bat, I'm starting Burrows. Cause
I see what you're
Justin
saying.
Fields, I mean,
I see what
you
you're
know,
saying. I see
he
what
wouldn't
saying.
He wouldn't have proven anything at that time.
I see what
so
you're saying.
You know he would have just had to outshine Joe Burrows and take his spot if that was the case.
Well, speaking of Burrows, I mean he's one of the top candidates for the Heisman. I mean, who else do you see? I guess
has- and that's crazy right there. Just to think about, my bad to cut you off, but that's crazy to think about. Burrows is up for the Heisman if he wins the Heisman. And if he goes first round, just think about this.
That's just like your boy from Cleveland right now, though. He transferred to Oklahoma.
No, but what I'm saying is how, you know, last year, Dwayne Haskins, right?
Right.
Burrows couldn't beat Haskins out, right?
Correct.
So he had to transfer.
Mm-hmm. So if you had all three, if you had all three here right now, Haskins, Burrows, Fields, who you going to start?
Looking at the resume that all of them has put out so far, I can't call it, man.
Man, what?
Man,
you gotta call it. You on the spot now.
I don't want to make nobody. No, I'm just talking. But I don't know, man. I like the way Justin Fields is playing. Honestly, I like the way that he's taking control.
But you just said you would start Burrows over him right now.
I was saying that just because of you had to look at it. And as retrospectively, man, like if Joe Burrows is at Ohio State for four straight years, he's been sitting behind two guys, and you got a red shirt freshman transferring in to Ohio State, hasn't played it down in college football, but this
he
is his first time. Well, I mean, he played probably in blowout games, whatever.
Okay. All right.
But he's coming into this brand new fresh system that he's trying to get a grasp upon.
What you're saying.
You know, exactly, right. Bro. But so, like I said, I like the way that Justin Fields is playing right now. He's doing an incredible job taking control of the offense, man. And I just hope he keep it up.
And do you think he should be in the talks for the Heisman?
Yeah, I guess.
What you mean you guess?
I like J.K. I like J.K. to be in the talks for the Heisman, to be honest. The way that he's been dominating college football since the season started.
So give me your four guys. If you had to pick four right now.
In the Heisman race.
You ain't got to put them in order. Just give me four guys.
J.K. Dobbins.
Wow. Okay. Three more.
Justin Fields, Chase Young.
Hey,
I'm a
Chase
name everybody that go to Ohio State. Everybody that's dominating at Ohio State right now, put him in the Heisman.
Hey, I like it.
For sure.
I like it.
We talk about potential first round candidates right here, man.
Yeah. Man, so I don't know if you've seen where the XFL just had a draft.
I seen that. I got a couple guys that.
Yeah, we got
congratulations.
We got a lot of Buckeyes who actually Cordell been one of the guys. I talked to him this morning, a couple of days ago. And he's out there in D.C.
Mm-hmm.
What's your thoughts on the whole XFL thing? And I mean, now, are you done playing? So if the XFL called you right now, say, you know, we want to give you a 3-year contract to come play right now.
I don't really want to speak on my situation with football. But,
okay.
You know, seeing guys get drafted into the XFL, you know, to me, it's going to be a good opportunity for those guys to showcase their abilities, you know, obviously put some film back on tape. So for some NFL teams to see, because obviously people are doing it to advance their career back into the NFL. Mm-hmm. And it's going to be televised. So it's going to be a lot of national media covering the XFL. So, you know, the opportunities that the guys that are playing in that league are going to have are going to be endless. You know, it's still, you know, it's going to be some politics in it, obviously, because it's ultimately a business as well as the NFL or whatever corporation that we're speaking about or organization. But for those guys just to get themselves back out there and for those 32 NFL teams to see what they can do on the football field and see if they can contribute to an NFL roster next year is, to me, substantial, especially if guys are still wanting to, you know, further their career and advance it.
Yeah. I mean, I just hope that it holds up. I mean,
yeah, that's the only thing.
We've seen a couple leagues who, you know, started up and then, you know, they ended because, you know, money issues. I don't think they'll have too many issues with the XFL. I mean, it's something that's been around before.
The thing about the XFL that's different is you have a lot of football guys actually running this league.
Yeah.
You know, with the Alliance of America League, it wasn't football guys,
yeah.
I guess, you know, at the top totem pole in that league. It was just business guys kind of just seeing a business opportunity and ultimately pulling their funding from that league when they didn't see things fit in the proper ways that they seen it. But, you know, that's, to me, going to be the biggest difference is, you know, you have NFL execs and actually former NFL players running that league. Yeah. So, you know, that's substantial to
me. Yeah, it's funny. Cordell, he has sent me a message the other day. It was telling me that Pep Hamilton is his head coach. Pep was my offensive coordinator when I played for the Colts. And I don't know if you know this, Pep was Michigan's offensive coordinator last year.
So what's your thoughts on him?
Pep cool.
Okay.
He cool. You know, he was when we was at the Colts together, he was Andrew Luck's offensive coordinator when he was in Stanford. So they had a relationship. But Pep is cool. He's creative. He's a person that think, you know, everything should work. There's not a play that he can run that shouldn't work.
Okay.
So he's creative, and I'm sure he's going to do a good job. He's the head coach now, so I think that's going to be a new thing for him. But
a guy with like Cardell behind the helm, hey, they should maybe.
Yeah.
Man, a lot of football games.
Yeah, switching over to the NFL, man. You talk about – you're a Browns fan, right?
I guess. My loyalty lies, I guess, in Cleveland somewhere.
Yeah.
But, I mean, I don't really have a favorite NFL team, to be honest.
See,
I like
kind of because you played
exactly,
in the NFL,
you know, so we have different.
So once you're done playing, it's like, all right, I don't really got a team. I just rock with my guys.
That's exactly how
you know. I got players. So
exactly,
but it's the home team.
It's the home team for sure. So I want to see them do.
So you gonna root for them?
Yeah, I want
to. What's up with the Browns, man? Why they struggling so bad?
To me, it's the complete opposite of what I said with Coach Day. The team right now, to me, it doesn't seem like they're buying into what the coaches have to say. You know, that, like, those type of issues and problems are evident, especially as a former player, and you're watching it from outside looking in, especially on Sundays, guys playing and running around. You can tell when a guy is locked all the way in to what he believes on that field just through his effort, through his relentlessness. Man, tongue twister going crazy. But you know, just the guys right now for the Browns, it just, to me, it doesn't seem like everyone trusts each other. Yeah. Obviously, it seems like it's just friction going on somewhere, somehow. I couldn't tell you because I'm not inserted in that organization, but I don't know, man. I just know that they got a lot of unhappy customers in Cleveland right now.
Yeah, yeah.
Just as being from people being fans out there and a lot of hype going into the season, but I mean, it's still time for them to turn it around.
They got time to turn it around, and I look at it like this. You get a lot of guys who haven't really played together. So it's going to take time for that to mold. It's going to take time for guys to get the chemistry down together. It's going to take time for the whole thing to even work. You know, it ain't just going to work like that because you got all these guys. I mean.
But then you got to look back on what was their offseason look like, you know?
They brought in a whole bunch of guys.
But what I'm saying is.
What did they do during all? Yeah, the time
that they had together, like,
you know, you know how it is, though.
I know how it is.
They might not start gelling.
I play defense, though.
Yeah, they might not start gelling. I was gonna say to the playoffs, but they might not even have a chance to make it to the playoffs.
Yeah,
you know.
I mean, to me, they have, and they also have a lot of guys injured, especially in the secondary. Even though, yet and still, the secondary played well without Denzel and the new former first rounder Williams.
Greedy.
Yeah, Greedy Williams.
They need them, though.
They definitely need them. If they want big plays out there on the field, they need those guys to, you know, to get their bodies right and come back 100% if they really want to get far in the playoffs, because, you know, playoffs come. It's a different build that you need out there.
Right.
You know?
Speaking of big plays, I mean, big-time players are making big plays. I know you probably seen Jalen Ramsey get traded from the Jaguars to the Rams.
I've definitely seen that.
I think both teams kind of won because the Ravens get – what's the kid's name? The corner.
Peters.
They get Peters.
He went to Oakland, I thought.
No.
He went to the Ravens?
He went to the Ravens. That's nice. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
So it's like the Jags get a bunch of, like, first-round picks, and then the Rams get Ramsey. I mean, that's – if I look at it, I mean, everybody won equally.
Yeah.
You know.
The Rams won, but they also just – you know, you got to – their defense was kind of their issue, but their immediate issue is their offensive line right now to me. And, you know, sending away 2 years' worth of first-round picks in the third round, I think.
That do sound crazy.
You know, they don't – like, where are you going to find these guys to fulfill these needs on the offensive line? Are you going to go out and trade for them? Are you going to go out and get them in free agency this upcoming season? But where is that money going to come from? Because you know they're going to pay Jalen Ramsey whatever you want.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah. So, I don't know. To me, they have different places that they need to fulfill some needs at, and they have Talib on the other side of Jalen Ramsey.
Yeah, he hurt.
So
he on IR for like 6 weeks, I think.
So I think
that's
time.
That's another reason why they went and got him.
Yeah,
though.
that was a reason to me. So yeah. I mean, I guess all in all, if you're looking at it player for player, of course, every team that was incorporated in that trade got something positive from it.
Cool. Well, look, man, I appreciate you coming through.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
I'm sure you're going to be through again. Again, people, if you want to bet and make some money, man, go to BetDSI and get a promo code Beanie100. If you want to bet and make some money and get paid fast, that's where you go, BetDSI, promo code Beanie100. Thank you guys again for coming on the Beanie and the Boom podcast. Peace out.
Peace.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm gonna make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you wanna get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply.